हरिः ॐ सह नववतु सह नौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Okay. So, reading from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Western Ocean, Fourth Wave, Chapter 43, titled Parenthood, verse 3462 on page 25. Separation after meeting from the 10th canto, right before we had example before meeting, now it's after. As Mother Jashoda heard the descriptions of her son's activities in Mathura, she poured out her tears and milk flowed from her breast out of love. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-28. Another example. Just see, now that Krishna has gone to Mathura, thin Jashoda, her face covered by gray hair, scattered here and there, injures her body by falling roughly on the ground. She shouts, oh my son, and beats her chest with her two hands. 3464. Though many Vyabhichari bhavas are possible in Vatsalya Rasa, during Viyoga, only chinta, pondering, vishada, remorse, nirveda, self-disgust, jardyam, indecision, dainyam, thinking oneself unqualified, chapalya, insolence, unmada, insanity, and moha, loss of internal awareness, are prominent. Srila Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 46th chapter, verse 28, there is this statement, quote, when Uddhava was present in Vrindavan and was narrating the activities of Krishna in Dwarka, Mother Jashoda, while hearing this narration, began to pour milk from her breast and shed tears from her eyes. Another incident demonstrating Jashoda's extreme love for Krishna occurred when Krishna went to Mathura, the kingdom of Kamsa. In separation from Krishna, Mother Jashoda was looking at Krishna's makeup utensils, and she fell down on the ground almost unconscious with a great sound. When she was rolling over on the ground, there were many scratches on her body, and in that piteous condition, she began to cry, oh, my dear son, and she slapped her breast with her two hands. This activity of Mother Jashoda is explained by expert devotees as ecstatic love in separation. Sometimes there are many other symptoms, such as great anxiety, lamentation, frustration, being stunned, humility, restlessness, madness, and illusion. 3465, chinta, pondering, right? So now we'll go through these particular, Vyabhichari bhavas during Viyoga, right? Pondering, oh, just 3465, right? O Jashoda, your mind, tied up with heavy fatigue, has become devoid of function. The pupils of your eyes remain motionless, staring in a crooked manner. The milk flowing from your breast has become cooked by your hot breathing. Certainly you are afflicted with unsteadiness due to separation from your son. Srila Prabhupada, as far as Mother Jashoda's anxieties are concerned, when Krishna was out of the house in the pasturing ground, a devotee once told her, Jashoda, I think your movements have become slackened, and I see that you are full of anxieties. Your two eyes appear to be without any movement, and I feel in your breathing a kind of warmth, which is bringing your breast milk to the boiling point. All these conditions prove that out of separation from your son, you have a severe headache. These are some of the symptoms of Mother Jashoda's anxieties for Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami. These words were spoken by someone to Jashoda when Krishna went to the forest. Sandanitam means bound up. The phrase milk cooked by hot breath hints at being separated from serving her son. 3466. Vishada, remorse. I have not seen the attractive shining face of my son in his period of new youth, late Kishor period, after his childhood. I have not performed the Griha Pravesh of my son when he got married. Akura has struck my head with a thunderbolt. Right, because she hasn't seen what he looks like now in his youthful period. She did not perform the Griha Pravesh of her son, you know, which had naturally happened in the village there, you know. Srila Prabhupada. When Akura was present in Vrindavan and was narrating the activities of Krishna and Dwarka, Mother Yashoda was informed that Krishna had married so many queens and was very busy there in his household affairs. Hearing this, Mother Yashoda lamented how unfortunate she was that she could not get her son married just after he passed his Kishore age, and that she therefore could not receive both her son and daughter-in-law at her home. She exclaimed, "My dear Akura, you are simply throwing thunderbolts on my head." These are signs of lamentation on the part of Mother Yashoda in separation from Krishna. 3467, Nirveda, self-disgust. Right, that's, you know, it can be self-deprivation or, you know, other aspect qualities are there. In an unfortunate life, in spite of all unlimited wealth, for I did not smell Krishna's head while milk froze from my breast. How unfortunate are the millions of cows which give continual milk like fresh nectar, for fickle Krishna does not steal their fragrant yogurt. Yeah, so Prabhupada calls it frustration here. Just means that you're not pleased with your position. You know, you don't see that, you know, you're able to accomplish anything. Nothing's being accomplished. Srila Prabhupada. Similarly, Mother Yashoda felt frustration when she thought, although I have millions of cows, the milk of these cows could not satisfy Krishna. Therefore, let a curse be on this milk. And I am also condemned because although I am so opulent in material prosperity, I am now unable to smell the head of my child and feed him with my breast milk, as I used to do when he was here in Vrindavan. This is a sign of frustration on the part of Mother Yashoda in separation from Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami. These are words uttered in parental affection out of unsteadiness of mind in thinking of separation from Krishna. Thus, the person states that Krishna does not steal, using the present tense. This version was sada, nava, shuddha, duham, etc., intensifies the sense of misfortune. Right? So using the present tense means it's not going on right now. You know, instead of saying, oh, he used to do this, he says he's not doing this now. It just makes it even more intense. Right? So then this Nirveda have the aspect of frustration or unsteadiness. Right? 3468, Jaryam, inaction. O lotus-eyed one, seeing your stick, which was the ornament of your lotus hand while you were in Gokula, your mother has today become like a stick with all senses stopped. Danya, lowness. O selfish Lord, with tears in her eyes and grass in her teeth, Yashoda prays to you, give up hatred of me and bring within my vision just once for a short time today, my son. 3470. Chapala, insolence. What is this shameless person doing sitting in the mansion? Ignorant people call him the Lord of Braja while smiling. How astonishing, it is true. Giving up a son dearer than life, this hard-hearted person entering the village freely thinks he is happy. Srila Prabhupada. One friend of Krishna's addressed him thus. My dear lotus-eyed one, when you were living in Gokula, you were always bearing a stick in your hand. That stick is now lying idle in the house of Mother Jashoda, and whenever she sees it, she becomes motionless, just like a stick. This is a sign of becoming stunned in separation from Krishna. In separation from Krishna, Mother Jashoda became so humble that she prayed to the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, with tears in her eyes. My dear creator, won't you kindly bring my dear son Krishna back to me so that I can see him at least for a moment? Sometimes, in restlessness like a madwoman, Mother Jashoda used to accuse Nanda Maharaj, "What are you doing in the palace, you shameless man? Why do people call you the king of Braja? It is very astonishing that while being separated from your dear son, Krishna, you are still living within Vrindavan as a hard-hearted father." Srila Jiva Goswami. These are the words of Jashoda filled with sorrow, talking about Nanda. People who are ignorant of the world, Atra Mugda Jana, strangers who are actually inimical, call him the Lord of Braja, while smiling, Muda. However, such words of enemies are quite suitable, for he has given up his son and still appears happy, strolling freely about the village in happiness. Unmada, insanity, 3471. O Kadamba trees, where is my son? O deer, is my son wandering about near you? O bees, please tell me some news about him. O Lord of the Yadus, in this way, with completely confused mind, the suffering Jashoda wandered about in all directions, asking news of you. Srila Prabhupada. Someone informed Krishna about the madness of Mother Jashoda in the following words. In madness, Mother Jashoda has addressed the Kadamba trees and inquired from them, "Where is my son?" Similarly, she has addressed the birds and the drones and inquired from them whether Krishna has passed before them. She has inquired if they can say anything about him. In this way, Mother Jashoda, in illusion, was asking everybody about you, and she has been wandering all over Vrindavan. This is madness and separation from Krishna. Srila Jiva Goswami. These are the words of Jashoda on hearing that Krishna suddenly fled from Mathura. Udantam means news. Right? So if he's left Mathura, then where is he gone? What's going on? 3472. Moha, vacant mind. Dear wife, why are you suffering so much in your mind? Open your eyes and see. Your son is standing in front of you. Dear wife, do not make this house empty. O king of the Yadu dynasty, in this way your father Nanda reveals his grief to your mother. Srila Prabhupada, when Nanda Maharaj was accused by Mother Jashoda of being hard-hearted, he replied, "My dear Jashoda, why are you becoming so agitated? Kindly look more carefully and just see your son Krishna is standing before you. Don't become a madwoman like this. Please keep my home peaceful." And Krishna was informed by some friend that his father Nanda was also an illusion in this way, in separation from him, right? So she's feeling the Vyavichari Bhava of the insolence like that. And so then making her comments, you know, about how Krishna's not here and how can you go around so happy. And Nanda Bhava being influenced by the Vyavichari of Moha, you know, vacant mind or just that kind of illusion like that, then he's saying, "What are you talking about? Krishna's right here. Why aren't you looking carefully?" You know, that's why he's smiling, because he's seeing Krishna. So just as different Vyavacharis, as they come in and out, then they'll get different flavors. They'll get different experiences. So it's just showing all the different things that are going on. 3473. Seeing Krishna for the first time. When Vasudeva's wives saw that Krishna, object of their eyes desired, had entered the arena, for a short time, their flowing breast milk dampened their new bodices. Srila Prabhupada. When all the wives of Vasudeva were present in the arena of Kamsa, They saw the most pleasing bodily features of Krishna, and immediate, out of parental affection, milk began to flow from their breasts, and the lower parts of their saris became wet. This symptom of ecstatic love is an example of the result of fulfillment of desire, right? So the first time they're seeing. So then you have separation before, then you have the first time, and then you have after, you know, after having met, done that separation. 3474, meeting Krishna after separation from the first canto. The mothers, after embracing their son, sat him on their laps. Due to pure affection, milk sprang from their breasts. They were overwhelmed with delight, and the tears from their eyes moistened the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.11.29. Srila Prabhupada, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 29, it is stated, when Krishna entered Dwarka after finishing the battle of Kurukshetra, he first of all saw his mother and all his different stepmothers and offered his respectful obeisances unto their feet. The mothers immediately took Krishna upon their laps, and because of their parental affection, there was milk flowing out of their breasts. So the breast milk mixed with the water of tears became the first offering to Krishna. This is one of the examples of being satisfied after a great separation. Yeah, because it said that Manu makes the point that if one wife has a son, they all have a son. So that way, then they all have that parental relationship with them. Not that it's only this mother's son. Right, it's all the wives' sons. So therefore, all Vasudeva's wives, then when they saw Krishna, then they have that parental mood. You know, though it'll be in support of, you know, following the footsteps of Devaki, just like the elder cowherd women in Vrindavan will be following the footsteps of Mother Jashoda. So there's always a lead, and then they're following. 3475. Yes.
I have a little side question. Is when Krishna was in Vrindavan, he was very young. And after having to Mathura and after Dwarka, but how much time he stayed in Mathura? A few years?
Well, but he had to be there at least, wasn't it 18 times? Because, I mean, 18 years at least, because Jarasandha would come every year with another Akshahini.
Yes.
Right. So 17 of them completely destroyed. The 18, then he ran away and he did that, you know, pastime with Muchukunda and killing Kaliyavana. And then they created Dwarka, right? And when Dwarka was created, then they just, during the night, transferred all the Mathura Vasis, right? You know, they went to bed in Mathura, they woke up in Dwarka.
Yes.
Like that. But as long as Krishna is there, what do they care?
Yes.
Because where Krishna is, that's what's important. So that, but anybody knows more of a date?
The Acharyas say something? Maharaj, I just searched. It says 10 years. 10 only years 10. In Mathura.
Okay. And just ask who?
I just searched in Google, Maharaj.
Okay, and then Radhacharan said that he's heard 23 years. Because 10 years, because it said every year Jarasandha would come. So at least that's 18 years. And then, you know, he would be, you know, probably established there a little bit, you know, and then sometime, you know, like that. So it was probably after some time he got first. But you also have the Kalpa Beta, where different times, different, you know, in every yuga, then in every yuga, they're going to have, not every yuga, but anytime he comes in his pastimes, there'll be some slight difference. So who knows where they're taking it from in that. So generally, whatever our acharyas say, we'll take that. Even if the other Puranas say different, it just means it's a different pastime. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Very good. But, you know, in other words, it was some time. That's the important thing. He was there for some time, and in that time, then he you know, performed his pastimes in Mathura, and that flavor that's there. Then after that, then he shifted to Dwarka, and then there's that flavor there.
Yes.
You know, because Dwarka is this kind of the main, the majesty and everything, the great kings and all that. Because you see in Mathura, you don't see so much of that. It's there, but it's more, it has more sweetness than Dwarka. Dwarka is much more, has more majesty. That's where they're seen as the great kings of the world and all those kind of things.
He spent most of his time in Dwarka. Vrindavan left Mathura and after Dwarka.
Yes, means as far as the, you're taking it, if you're looking at it in kind of like linear pastimes,
yes.
Because otherwise, the Dwarka Leela, the apricot's always going on, the Mathura apricot is always going on, the Vrindavan's always going on. They're always, but in the Prakat, then you're going to see this kind of, you know, he grows up, he does all these things, he's here, he goes there, he moves to the next place. These things all happen with that. But otherwise, then there isn't any time frame like that. The pastimes are eternally going on. That,
yes, yeah. Nice. Thank you.
Okay, 3475. Another example from Lalita Madhava. Out of affection, the wife of Nanda began to bathe her son in the water streaming from her eyes and the milk streaming from her breasts. 3476. Permanent association from Vidagdha Madhava. Oh, Mukunda, your mother, fixing her eyes on the beauty of your moon-like face, fragrant as a lotus, out of great jubilation, continually pours streams of milk from the mouths of the two pots in the form of her breasts. In this manner, her clothing becomes soaked. Srila Prabhupada. There is a similar statement in the Lalita Madhava. How wonderful it is that Jashoda, the wife of King Nanda, out of her parental affection for Krishna, mixed her tears and the milk from her breast and thus bathed her dear son Krishna. In Vidagdha Madhava, a devotee addresses Lord Krishna as follows. My dear Mukunda, just after seeing your face, which is full with the scent of the lotus flower, Mother Jashoda, being attracted by the moonlight of your face, became so overjoyed in her affection that immediately from the nipples of her water pot-like breast, milk began to flow. She was thus constantly engaged in supplying milk to Krishna, after wetting the covering cloth over the jug. Srila Jiva Goswami. Ambara kopam means wetness of the cloth. Stithi means here being eternally situated with the Lord after his returning to Raja. At the end of the section on Preo Rasa, this was inferred as a suitable conclusion. Bhakti Rasamita Sindhu 3318. This will be explained here a little bit more. The Lord, who is glorified in the Vedas as being true to his promises, clearly made the promise to return to Braja in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Now you should all return to Braja, my dear father. We will come to see you, our dear relatives who suffer in separation from us, as soon as we have given some happiness to your well-wishing friends. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:45-22. Vo drashtum eshyama, we will come to see you, indicates that the goal of their efforts is to see Nanda and Jashoda again, but should be understood to be an eternal situation of seeing, not that Krishna would again leave Braja. Right, so he's saying here is then he goes back, this time he doesn't leave. Drashtum, to see, can also mean to be and remain the object of your sight. So that means we'll spend a little more time with these relatives here, and that, and then we'll come to see you and just stay. This is similar to the usage of vibodhum in the following verse, which means to be the object of understanding. End quote. This means that the impersonal Brahman It is the object of continuous realization of the non-devotees. Non-devotees, however, cannot realize you in your full personal feature. Nevertheless, it may be possible that for them to realize your expansion as the impersonal supreme by cultivating direct perception of the self within the heart. Self meaning the Lord. But they can do this only by purifying their mind and senses of all conceptions of material distinctions and all attachment to material sense objects. Only in this way will your impersonal feature manifest itself to them. 10:14:26. So the Lord, it means when they don't see differentiation in anything, nothing is more valuable than the other. Everything is seen as the same. So therefore they have no interest. There's no attachment. At that time, then they're the appropriate mentality for someone to realize Brahman. Then the Lord will reveal himself. Right. But for the devotees, then they're interested in the personal form of the Lord. So therefore, then Krishna will manifest them that way, either in that they haven't seen him. And so they're absorbed in that form of the Lord. Then they have seen him. And then that immediate separation after that, or then the longer after a long time, then there's like that, or that they're always with. And all these occasions, then because of their absorption in devotion, the form of the Lord. Therefore, then he reveals himself in that way. And to the impersonalist, then that won't happen. And they have to become detached from the world. While for the devotees, they can make distinctions of what's here. It's just distinctions on how to use this for Krishna or how to use that for Krishna. So you can tell the difference, right? You know, they can tell the difference between a hammer and a knife. Therefore, they can, cut the potatoes with the knife, you know, for Krishna rather than smashing it. Speaking of smashed potatoes, the other day I came across, you know, I was talking about it in jest, you know, it's just a joke. Other day I came across an actual recipe for smashed potatoes. Like that. You take the potato whole with the skin on it, you boil it, right? Until it's, you know, it's just soft, not falling apart soft, but not firm soft, just nice soft, you know, the skin doesn't split. Then you take them out, let them cool the room temperature so you can deal with them. Then you take the potato and you want to a little bit slit the skin on a few places around, so that when you smash it, the skin doesn't all go to one place, right? It just smashes evenly. Then you can take something, put it on the top, you know, either a big spoon or something else, and very carefully push down on it till you get it. So that, you know, it'd be like a centimeter or a little bit more, you know, thick. Then once you do that, then you put it on a tray, and that with oil and spices like that, and put it in the oven and bake it until it becomes brown. Literally, it's called smashed potato. I was joking about it, but here it is, you know. But that's the thing. It says whatever happens in Bengal today, then it goes to the... You know, it happens in the rest of India, and then whatever India does goes to the rest of the world. So somehow or another, by that discussion, it's now a bona fide preparation, right? And then I came across it by accident, then I put in the thing, and there's other recipes, other people are doing it. So, yes. So it is there, but it still sounds better in French. No? Smashed potato doesn't sound as good as the French.
Smashed potatoes sounds like something very violent.
Yeah, but then, you know, you say it and, you know, because I had originally said you take a tuna, you know, one of those, what do you call it? You know, 2 kilo sledgehammers and then you smash the potato. But this has been taken to a more refined level. They actually boil the potato first and then carefully smush it. Maybe we call it smushed potatoes. Yes.
Maharaj, I actually do the exact same thing. However, I use baby potatoes, round ones.
Okay.
And then I smash them with a fork, but instead of the oven, and fry them until they turn golden.
Yes, you could do. I think the other ones are, because it's bigger, that pan frying, they might fall apart before you get it done. So you by putting in the oven, you bake it for, you know, 30 minutes, and it gets a nice crust and that and all that. So then it'll work, you know. But yeah, yeah. So it's the same. See? See? That's it. There you have it.
In Maharaj, we have this in France in so many years, time immemorial.
Yeah, but only the small potatoes. These were the big potatoes they were doing.
No, we have both.
Ah, okay. Yes. So then if it's always
especially
been there,
in village. Especially in village.
Village life. In the village. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Okay. Okay. So it is. So it is, see, it is a tradition. Okay. Okay. So Krishna's returning to Vraja was also explained by Uddhava. Having killed Kamsa, the enemy of all the Yadus, in the wrestling arena, Krishna will now surely fulfill his promise to you by coming back. 10:46:35. Infallible Krishna, the Lord of the devotees, will soon return to Vraja to satisfy his parents. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46:34. Okay. Krishna will return to satisfy his parents must mean there would be permanent living with them, because otherwise to come for a few days and then leave wouldn't do that. Now Krishna's actual return took place after killing of Dantavakra. That is hinted by the Lord himself during the Kurukshetra pilgrimage. My dear girlfriends, do you still remember me? It was for my relative's sake that I stayed away so long, intent on destroying my enemies. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:82:41. From this statement is understood that after killing his enemies and finally killing Dantavakra, footnote 7, after killing Dantavakra, he did not kill any more demons, so he was the last. You know, not necessarily least, but the last. He would return to Vraja in the future. This Kurukshetra pilgrimage took place before the killing of Dantavakra. The Vanaparva, the Mahabharata, explains that the killing of Dantavakra, along with the killing of Salva, took place simultaneously with the exile of the Pandavas to the forest. After they returned from the forest, the battle of Kurukshetra took place, where Bhishma was killed. During the pilgrimage to Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse, Bhishma was also present. Balaram's pilgrimage, chapter 79, which is described in the Bhagavatam before the description of the pilgrimage to Kurukshetra, chapter 72 in the Bhagavatam, was actually completed on the day that Duryodhana was killed, and thus actually occurred after the pilgrimage to Kurukshetra, since he was present at Kurukshetra eclipse as well. Krishna's return to Vraja after killing Dantavakra is clearly described in the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, in prose. Killing Dantavakra, Krishna then crossed the Jamuna River and went to Vraja. He greeted and comforted his grieving parents. He was embraced by them, who were covered in tears. He bowed to all the elder cowherd men and comforted them. He satisfied all of them there with plenty of cloth and ornaments. Also, so the cloth and ornament, these are just part of something you do. You're going there, you take gifts and everything like that. It's just for the exchange, right? So for them, they would rather have Krishna and not all the other stuff. But the point is Krishna's come, and this is a way to exchange. Otherwise, as parents, how do they interact? What do they do? What's the things that they do? So these are the different, you know, activities that are performed. And so through this, then they are performing their pastime. He was embraced by them, who were covered in tears. He bowed to all the elderly coward men and comforted them. Oh, that he already had that. He satisfied all of them there with plenty of cloth and ornaments. Also in the Bhagavatam, after the battle of Kurukshetra, when Krishna was entering Dwarka, the citizens of Dwarka indicate Krishna's return to Vraja. O lotus-eyed Lord, whenever you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan or Hastinapur to meet your friends and relatives, every moment of your absence seems like a million years. O infallible one, At that time, our eyes become useless, as if bereft of sun. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.11.9. According to Sridhar Swami, Madhun means Mathura, and therefore Surid friends would mean the friends in Braja, part of Mathura district. But because they're not staying in Mathura, they're in Dwarka. So in this case, then the Mathura means that it's the district in Braja. Because all the people of Mathura were transferred to Dwarka, as explained in the following verse. Right, so there was no. So when he says you go to Mathura, right, when you go away to Mathura, Vrindavan has to, because that just means that district. Because who's saying this is the Dwarkavasis, but before they were in Mathura, so he wouldn't go away from Mathura to go to Mathura to meet them in Mathura while they're feeling separation while they're in Mathura. No. After transferring all the subjects to the new city by the power of his mystic yoga maya, Lord Krishna consulted with Lord Balaram, who had remained in Mathura to protect it. Then, wearing a garland of lotuses but bearing no weapons, Lord Krishna went out of Mathura by its main gate. In the following verse also, the word Surid indicates the people of Raja, not just friends, but parents, etc. O best of the Kurus, once Lord Balaram, eager to visit his well-wishing friends, mounted his chariot and traveled to Nanda Gokula, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.65.1. Since it has been shown that there is agreement between the Bhagavatam and the Padma Purana that Krishna returned to Vraja just as he desired, one should put aside arguments about where Dantavakra was killed, either by accepting the version of the Vaishnava Toshani or else attributing the different versions and scriptures to different kulpas of time. Footnote 8. So either you accept the version of the Vaishnavas, you know, what pleases the Vaishnavas. So that's the point, the Vaishnava Toshani, is that you're accepting how the Vaishnavas see it, what pleases them. Or if not, if you see that there's something different, this one he appeared, this one he didn't, I mean, went back, this one he didn't, it's just the kulpa beta. It's just the difference in time. Footnote 8. Srila Jiva Goswami writes in his commentary to Srimad Bhagavatam 10.78.13-15. After killing the demons, though they had intolerable prowess, Krishna was worshipped by others. He was praised by devatas and men with cries of victory, victory. His victory of Shalva and others was sung by the sages and others. They all sprinkled him with flowers completely. He was surrounded by the Rishnis, who had previously come to fight, such as Prajumna, who now approached him after all the demons had been killed, and Vasudev, Balaram, Ugrasena, and others. He entered the city, which was naturally decorated, or was especially decorated after the killing of the great demons. Right, so it's naturally decorated because they just every day decorate. Or you can say it's specially decorated because now he's killed all the demons. So it just means it's more decorated. The details concerning the killing of Dantavakra are given in the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda. Then, hearing that Shishupal had been killed, Dantavakra went to Mathura to fight against Krishna. When Krishna, moreover, heard of this, he mounted his chariot and went to Mathura. Between the two of them, Dantavakra and Vasudev, there began a battle at the gate of Mathura that lasted all day and night. Finally, Krishna struck Dantavakra with his club, at which point Dantavakra fell lifeless to the ground. All his limbs smashed like a mountain shattered by a lightning bolt. Dantavakra achieved the liberation of gaining a form like the Lord's, and thus they also achieved the Lord's eternal supreme abode, attainable by perfect yogis, which bestows the happiness of everlasting spiritual bliss. So it was that Jaya and Vijay, apparently, because of being cursed by Sanaka and his brothers, but actually to facilitate the Supreme Lord's pastimes, descended to this material world and in three consecutive lifetimes were killed by the Lord himself. Then at the completion of these three lifetimes, they attained liberation. So you see is that that's how it's working. And so then you know, we see in this appearance, then they stay for another pastime as Jaga and Madai. One should not think that this version is from another kalpa. Correlation of the two stories should be made. It is said that after, right, so he's saying, the Acharya is saying here that don't see it as a different kalpa. You have to see the correlation because it actually correlates and the Vaishnavas are pleased with that. But if someone else can't accept that, then you just say kalpa Veda, they have to accept. That's just the way it is. Right. It is said that after Shalva was killed, Dantavakra came there to pay his debt to his friend. He did not hear about the death in his house. Previously, he knew of Pandrika's death. On understanding that Shishupal had been killed, in great anger, he immediately left his province and came to Indraprastha, where Shishupal was killed by Krishna. He wandered about in that place alone, holding his club, making the earth tremble. His body was then broken like a mountain struck by thunder. By worship of Shiva, immediately attained the power of Hiranyaksha. As Sukadeva has said, he had a wicked mind. He thought of how Krishna took the advice of Uddhava to kill Jarasandha. He thought that Krishna had strength only through his chakra. He then took up his club with the aim of single combat, understanding that Balaram and Bhima were skillful at using the club. He came to Mathura to challenge Krishna to single combat and attack him. Then, from Narada, he heard that Krishna had gone to Dwarka and killed Shalva. He was eager to go there, but Krishna, after killing Shalva, came to Mathura as quick as the mind travels on his chariot. Dantavakra came out of Mathura to meet him. At that time, Krishna saw him coming in an angry mood. Then he killed Dantavakra. The gate of Mathura facing Dwarka is called Dantavakra Ha, or in local dialect is called Datiha. A village where Vajra lived remains there. Though Vidurata did not come with Dantavakra because of some disagreement, he came later out of affection and seeing Dantavakra dead, he fell like a moth into the fire. He merged into Krishna. Padma Purana describes events after this also. Krishna, after killing Vidurata, crossed the Yamuna and came to Vraja. He greeted his mother and father, who longed to see him and comforted them. With tears in their throats, he was embraced by them. He offered respects to all the elder cowherds and comforted them. He gave them all cloth and ornaments in profusion. Right, so all this comes together, and then so like that. So that's the Vaishnava Toshali, how they appreciate it. Okay, then continuing on the main text. Ooh, a long explanation of this.
All right.
Okay. Yes.
I've read somewhere. I'm not sure where. I can't remember. But the point was made that the love of Mother Yashoda can be, practically speaking, be on an equal footing as the love of Srimati Radharani for Krishna. Can you comment on that?
Means the point is that they're all devotees of Krishna, and so they're going to have that intensity. The point being is that, let us say, you have varying but similar categories, you know, and so therefore they're the best within their category. So in that way, you can say is they're basically the same, you know. Just like, let's say someone is excellent at the best at cooking sabjis. Someone else is the best at cooking sweets. And so then you can try to make a comparison there. You know, they're the best in their area, so then they're, in that way, they're equal. But in this case, we know that Srimati Radharani, she's the devotee, everyone else is her servant. So it's all part of that. So as far as parental ras goes, her absorption, that parental ras, will be kind of standard of fullness that Srimati Radharani is absorbed in the Adi Ras. And so in that way, you could compare and say that they're basically on the same level. But at the same time, is you know, other statements, then they show that there's a hierarchy of the rasas, and that, you know, Radharani, you know, is the devotee, and that, you know, the parental aspect is as a part, it'll be contained within the conjugal. And so you see is that there is a non-difference, but there's a difference. Because you don't need to make so much difference. You don't go, oh, Radharani's the only devotee, Mother Yashoda is not that great, and so then nobody cares. No, she's a great devotee. And so everybody's the pastimes go on, because these distinctions are only made for us to appreciate that there is differences and there's this hierarchy and these things are there. But in application, you don't see that, because Mother Yashoda is going to be senior to Radharani. She's the one that arranged that Radharani comes every day to cook for her son, because she wants the best for her son, and she heard that Radharani has a benediction that whatever she cooks, you know, being like nectar, will, you know, protect, you know, or give a long life to the person who eats it. So she wants that for her son. So then she makes that arrangement. So Radharani's coming and cooking for Krishna under Mother Yashoda's authority. You know, so all these things are going on in the pastimes like that. Senior to all of them is going to be Purnamasi. Like that. And so you're going to have all these different things in the pastime. So means one has to appreciate that there's certain aspects on how you're trying to bring out that it's great and all that. And therefore, because there is that equality, therefore, then there's community. Right. And so therefore, because of that intensity of their love, same way that Sridham, Sudham, Subal, oh, then it's going to be, because remember, it was a few pages before when it was talking about the the cowherd boys. Then they're saying that they're on a similar level like the gopis, simply because they have that aspect of not caring about Krishna's, you know, being senior to them or anything. He's just equal. They just see as equal, just like the gopis will see as equality. That equalness, you know, same level, same status. And so that gives a particular flavor. So in that way, the cowherd boys are similar to the gopis. Right? But you see the gopis and the queens, and when they're talking about their position, when they're talking like informally, then they'll always count themselves as a maidservant. So it's a servant.
Right.
You know, so all these different things are there. So you can bring them out, but you don't want to overemphasize them. One always has to be very careful about that, is you see how much do they, you know, if this is mentioned once, it's mentioned once and it's never mentioned again. That means it has its place, but it should not be overemphasized. Otherwise, you throw off the balance. Like if I say, right, without salt, the vegetable has no taste and this and that. And so if you don't put salt, there'll be no flavor. So if you want the vegetable to have flavor, you have to put salt. And all this, then it makes it sound like that's the whole thing. But then if I just put salt and nothing else, it also won't. It enhances what's there, the flavor that's there. But, you know, but otherwise we'll take it, that salt makes the flavor. No, salt enhances, it brings out, makes it so you can appreciate. But it doesn't mean salt produces it. So someone may become a salt body, and so then they're always going around, are you putting enough salt? And it's just not, and they go in and harass everybody in the kitchen and, you know, like that. And so you can do that, but when one's to be very careful not to do these things, as you see is, okay, even if it's there, how much do the acharyas mention it? So what's mentioned more times, that's what's more important. Sorry?
What you're explaining fits the analogy of the different glasses of water, different size, but each one is full to the brim?
Yes, that's a very nice example. That's a very nice example. So you can say it's the same, but at the same time, it is a different size. There is some difference. But that's a very good example. You know? So that's why, you know, we hear from the acharyas, so that we understand how this is. So it's there, and that because without being equals, how can you be friends? And Krishna said he's going to Vrindavan to see his friends, and it doesn't mean just the cowherd boys. It means everybody there who has that friendly attitude towards Krishna. And so therefore, then, because of that, they're all equal friends, and that they're the best you know, that you can be. And so therefore it's perfect. Therefore it fits all nicely into the community. And so they all have their position. You know, and the flavors are you know, there's common elements and there's different elements. So it's common. They may be together or not, but what's different, then they have to be different to taste. Right? What the gopis taste can't be tasted at the house of Mother Jashoda. They have to go out in the forest. And it can't be just out in the forest of the cowherd boys. It has to be out in the forest on their own. Therefore, Radhakund. Right? You know, so there's always that uniqueness in that specialness. And so each glass is special in itself. Each glass is full, like, you know, the example you gave. Yeah. So that's the perfection. But we want to be very, very careful that somebody's read something and then tries to make that the main point of their classes and preaching and all that. And, oh, everyone's not understanding this and they're trying to bring it out and unique. But you have to be careful of that. You know, yeah. Westerners just get distracted, and in India they have to be Moonies and establish their own punta, you know. So, you know, does that make sense?
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much.
Because yes. Okay. Thank you.
Maharaj, there is one pastime also there, in Rajalila, that Radharani is most greatest, and it was proved by the Krishna once. Then when Krishna was sick. Then Radharani, means the doctor has said that there is a more chaste girl, and if she bring water across the Yamuna and give it to Krishna, then he will recover. So in that pastime, it was proved that Radharani is the highest among all and greatest among.
Yes, means you have all these things, but these are aspects to establish the position, you know, the tattva. And so, yes, it's there, so you understand the balance and everything like that. But at the same time, when the pastimes run, who's arranging these? Who brought the doctor? Right? Mother Jashoda brought the doctor. So then Radharani going and doing this is under the direction of Mother Jashoda. So she's assisting Mother Jashoda. Huh. You know, it's like when she cooks for Krishna, she's cooking in Mother Jashoda's kitchen. And Rohini is there, and you know, like that. So it's her kitchen. They serve the meal. Mother Jashoda is there watching. She's overseeing it.
Yeah.
So you just have to see is that all these flavors are there because it's personal. It has all these. So this hierarchy that goes up, it's not that it just goes up and disappears. You know, it's not that you go up and there's this, and then you hit the ultimate, and then you're in the clouds. And then when you appreciate the clouds, then the Om sign then manifests there. And then after that, then they all put up their hand like this. And, that bright shining light comes out, you know, and then everyone gets blessed. And then they merge into Brahma. Yes, so it doesn't do that.
Yes.
You know, how you say that might be yes. How are we doing the time? Okay. Yeah. So there's going to be evidences of these things, but at the same time as they have a purpose for establishing them. Right? Like those things are more easily understood when we understood the constantly repeated point that we're not the body, we're the soul, and we're servants of Krishna. When that's understood, you know, then these things become more easy. Okay. Krishna's return to Dwarka. After that was enacted through another of his forms suitable for Dwarka. This is stated in the Padma Puran later. Thus, all the persons there, Nanda and the cowherd men, the children and their wives, the cows, animals, and birds, taking shining forms by the mercy of Vasudeva, mounted an airplane and went to the Supreme Vaikuntha planet. Krishna, having bestowed his infallible abode to all the inhabitants of Vraja, then entered Dwarka while being praised by the devatas in the sky. The child of the chief person was Krishna, and the chief wife was Jashoda. Thus, by the mention of the word putra, son, is understood that Krishna also entered that spiritual abode, along with his parents and others in their own brilliant forms, Divya Rupa Dara. in describing that the inhabitants in Braja were endowed with divya forms by the mercy of Vasudeva. The meaning is that the inhabitants took on brilliant forms out of jubilation for Krishna's mercy in returning to Braja. Footnote 9. It does not mean that they gave up their material bodies and attained spiritual forms. They're always in their spiritual forms. So everybody in the pastimes, they're in their spiritual forms. So one has to see is that these are there, and then one becomes inspired, because there's this aspect is that even though here you have the aspect of going from the Boma Leela to the Goloka Leela, you know, Boma Vrindavan to Goloka Vrindavan. But at the same time is they're non-different. So then it just becomes, in other words, from the Prakat, you see this pastime and then they go to Goloka, right? But at the same time, the Aprakat just continues. So all there's left in Vrindavan is Aprakat, just like now. The pastimes are going now in Vrindavan. The Aprakat pastimes are going on. So they'll have all these different things. They just, it's nice. It's inspiring. It creates a variety, you know, so that the brilliant forms is because of their jubilation in Krishna's returning. It wasn't that they now they took on, you know. This is Isaiah, yeah. The description of attaining the Supreme Vaikuntha on an airplane is for deceiving materialistic persons. Actually, unseen by the materialist, they all entered into a special manifestation of Vrindavan, unmanifest, or apricot. And having entered there, Krishna made all their unmanifest forms, which already existed them in Nitya Lila, merge into the forms that they brought from the manifest pastimes. And it's like, so that was the thing, is that, you know, then they say they attained that thing, just means that the apricot and the prakat forms just merge. So there's only the apricot Lila going on. But before, the two were going on. That's why then Krishna's always with them. He never leaves. But at the same time, we've seen the prakat, he's left. But even there in the prakat, he's there in his bhav mood, like that. And so therefore, they're always with Krishna, but in the mood of separation, like that. So there's all these, you know, fine points, you know. In a similar matter, after marrying 16,000 queens by the potency of Yoga Maya, as seen by Narada, Krishna, on leaving all the palaces with 16,000 forms, would merge those forms into one form on entering the Sudharma Hall. Right? Otherwise, 16,000, you know, Krishna's all there, then, you know, they'd have to address, okay, yeah, yes, Krishna here, the husband of Rukmini, what did you have to say, like that, then this. Like that. Oh, yes, yes, now the husband of Sarva Satyabhama and all that. And, you know, can't you guys get along here or something? You know, but no, it doesn't happen. They just, as he comes out, where there's two roads come together, then the two Krishnas come together, and then one Krishna walks, right? And then that one Krishna walking, then with the next road, then that like this, until he gets to Sudharma, there's only one form going in. But when he comes out, it goes the other way. And then so each one, he walks into each palace of the queen. Okay, this is going to go into another... quotation of things and that. So I think it's best we stop here. Otherwise, we'll get partway through and we won't be able to have properly the conversation. Okay, so we'll stop here and then we'll continue Thursday. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.